Hi, everyone. I'm so excited to have you on my podcast today. Today, my podcast is all about leadership. Sometimes leadership isn't loud. Sometimes it's not found in titles or awards or standing in front of the room. Sometimes leadership is simply by choosing to stay seated when everyone walks away. I want to introduce to you today, Joe Rigotti. And before I tell you about his extraordinary career in safety and compliance, I want to tell you about a moment that revealed to me exactly who he was as a person. There was a time in my life when I was carrying one of the heaviest burdens I've ever known, and that was caring for my mom. While trying to keep moving forward professionally and personally, I remember sitting down at lunch at a lunch table, just hoping for connection. And one by one, people at the table got up, except Joe. He stayed. And sometimes the people who change your life aren't people who are making speeches. They're the ones who quietly choose kindness when maybe sometimes it would be easier not to. Professionally, Joe has spent his career protecting others. He is a highly respected safety and compliance leader with deep experience in OSHA and FMCSA regulations. Operational safety, investigations, risk mitigation, and employee training. He has dedicated his work to be creating safer workplaces and stronger operations, but he built a career and culture on accountability. But his greatest lessons might not have come from regulations or inspections. They come from survival. Joe is an 8-year kidney transplant receiving living with a rare hereditary disease called Alport syndrome. For years, he watched his kidney function slowly disappear before dialysis, and he was waiting for the call that would ultimately save his life. And through that experience, he learned something powerful: be the light in someone's darkness. But this phrase became more than words. It's how Joe lives. It's how he showed up for me, and whether he's advocating for organ donations, or supporting others through difficult moments, or simply just choosing compassion when it matters most, Joe reminds us that humanity is often revealed in the quietest asks completely, because today's conversation is about resilience, service, kindness, survival, and the impact that one person can simply make by just showing up for other people. So thank you, Joe. Welcome to my show. I am so excited to have you here today. Why don't you introduce yourself and tell people what it means to lead from the front line?
Well, thank you, Gina. It's been great being a friend with yours. We met virtually 6 years ago. What leading from the front line has kind of changed over the years. In my early career, gas stations, truck stops, running a warehouse, there was nothing I ever asked my people to do that I did not, would not do. And I strive to be one of the best at all the tasks. When I came over into transportation, while I have driven truck, I'm not very good at it. It's a fact I tell every driver when they come in, I'm not a good truck driver. So I had to find other ways to lead from the front. I think you always have to be compassionate. In trucking especially, our drivers sacrifice so much. They spend their life out on the road. They sleep in a truck. They're frequently treated very badly. A lot of drivers, either purposefully or accidentally cut them off, make their life difficult. So to lead from the front, it takes a lot of empathy. Like you talked about, and I've said this many times, I sat and talked with you at lunch because I like you and I wanted to talk to you. But sometimes I'm just an ear. They just call and they just vent, and that's fine. But leading from the front, I have to gain their trust. Drivers that I believe are right will find out that I always have their back. If they're wrong, I'm going to tell them. And now with technology and video, I can actually show them and we can go through. Because my goal is always improvement. Mm-hmm. So that's really it. When you lead from the front line, you have to get people to trust you, respect. And, we invest so much in our team members that we have to look at continued investment, because if we replace them, we're just shooting the dice.
Yeah.
You know, invest in people.
Absolutely. I love that. We need to invest in each other and people. And it's just that small moment that you spend that can change someone's life. So I appreciate that. What do you think? You've been in the industry a long time, Joe. What do you think? What's one thing you think we should redesign? Maybe it's a system or a tradition, but what would you create in your ideal world? What would you create instead?
It's the freight system of practical miles.
Mm.
It's been with us a long time. It's the shortest legal route. It doesn't have anything to do with the safest or the smartest. Mm. And it doesn't value the driver's true time. You know, we, everybody in the industry talks about it. Drivers struggle to get where they're at. They've got to drive, bad conditions, all this stuff. They frequently will go out of their way for safer routes that they're not getting paid for, and we're not getting paid for.
Mm.
They sit at shippers and receivers. Mm-hmm. Their time's just not valued. And it's to the shipper's advantage. And it is so entrenched in what we do that it devalues the what trucking brings to the country.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, and it's everything. Everything. Yeah. I'm still waiting for Nugget to show up, Joe. I don't know. I don't have a tracking number, but hopefully Nugget shows up. But you're
I
right.
Saw that. Like,
yeah. I mean, the thing is, like, we depend on logistics. We depend on all of you that lead from the front line. What do you think it teaches us leading from the front line about humanity? What do you think is an important lesson we could learn?
I think that, you know, when it comes down to life, that, you know, people are who they are. We all are equal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and people have value. I'm fortunate enough that, you know, I work in an industry that is very well integrated. I was just talking with a driver this morning about she gets treated badly. And I think that's horrible that we don't have enough women in trucking. They get treated poorly because it's a male dominated industry. And I think that, you know, by avoiding these things, that we don't really build the community. There's too much exclusion. And I think as people, as a country, we just have to look at everybody for who they are.
Hmm.
Look at their values, see what they can do.
Yes.
Be real honest. I'm sitting here saying I would not be a good truck driver. You don't want to put me behind the wheel of your truck.
Me either.
That's not my skill set. But I will surely support the guys who can do it and girls. I wish we could, you know, it's to me, it's an untapped resource. There are plenty of underemployed women out there that could and should be able to drive a truck.
Yeah. We need to educate. We need to bring them in. We need to attract it. We need to make them feel like they're part of something bigger. This is a beautiful industry. It is incredibly powerful of all the things. Everything we get is from a driver. Everything we get is from a farm. You know, Dutch Mate is working tirelessly, like all of these individuals, to change our lives. And it's so powerful. What do you think? Like, people tell me, like, Gina, trucking isn't innovative. Like, there's nothing going on there interesting. I'm like, what do you mean? Like, what do you think? How would you respond to that? Where is, like, some innovative moment that maybe came out of your organization or maybe your personal life that came from an unexpected place? Like, what are we doing for innovation?
I mean, what we've done in the last 20 years, trucking does not even resemble what it was 20 years ago. The good and the bad of that. A lot of the changes have fallen on the drivers, and they do a lot more work. But this was really a difficult question for me, and it comes down to two individuals.
Mm.
And this goes back early in my career. I had my first fatality.
Mm.
And we were basically an innocent bystander in somebody else's accident.
Mm.
But the fatality happened when one of those vehicles hit my tractor.
Mm.
And I had to go to the accident scene and see the truck and spend the evening in the hospital with a driver that I love, respect, and I'm still friends with. And he was going through a divorce. It was a tough night for me. And I walked in the next morning, and the president of the company and the company I was working for, and somebody there will hear this, And I'm going to say it, they are not touchy-feely, warm, fuzzy people. That's just not who they are. And the president called me in, and he was probably pretty aware that I was really upset. And he told me, Joe, if your trucks run enough miles, this will happen again. Your job is to put as many miles between those incidents as you can. And since the driver was going through divorce and he was home, the president was awesome. He drove to his hometown, picked him up, brought him to the office. We had him in there for 3 days, took him to lunch, all this stuff. And on Friday night, one of our salesmen had a picnic, and he took me aside before I left. And he said to me, he says, Joe, I totally understand it if you don't want me to work for you anymore. And I was just like stunned. And I looked at him and I said, Tom, short of making your truck fly, there's nothing you could do. And instead of leaving the industry, because two totally unexpected conversations happened, I'm still here 20 years later. It was a hard pill to swallow. It was a hard thing to go to, but I had two guys that made me realize that I was doing something important.
You are. I'm so glad that you're in the industry. I'm so glad that I met you. I'm so glad that you can impact so many people's lives, because it matters. And you're just a complete gem. I'm so glad that you stayed in the industry. What do you hope people remember about you, Joe, for the work that you do 10 years from now? Like, what do you want 10 years from now when I am sitting there, or anyone at your organization, what do you want them to remember your legacy?
Well, I'm hoping in 10 years I'm still sitting here.
Oh, you're going to be.
I really don't intend to retire. I may not work as much, but I hope to. I mean, I hope that people remember what I teach. I tell drivers in driving and that I never expect anything out of them behind the wheel. I don't hold myself to. So I just hope that I teach people to live their life better. You know, guys call me about, you know, things that are non-trucking related, but, you know, being safe, being patient behind the wheel, being relaxed behind the wheel, not stressing, taking a deep breath. That's probably more important than anything. And I want to continue doing that and teaching people why they do what they do, rather than just saying this is the rules. I'm very famous in some things, and I'll sit there and look at a driver and go, yeah, I don't really agree with the law. But it is the law. So I just want people to learn and think about life differently.
That's awesome. I love that. And that's why I'm pausing today to recognize your leadership, because I know, Joe, you don't always get the spotlight, but you're moving mountains just the same. And I know you're not the loudest voice in the room, and I know you don't chase titles or applause, but I do know that you show up time and time again for others. And I actually created, you're going to get a little pelican. This is my glass pelican, and it'll have your name on it. And do you know anything about pelicans?
Well, I know they have giant stretchable beaks there.
They do, but they're actually, they travel in groups. And I chose the pelican because of the community that they surround themselves in, and they thrive not through being alone, but through connection and community. They actually represent teamwork, social bonds, and the balance between giving and receiving. So I wanted to give you a Pelican Award because you embody all of these traits, and you see the strength in others and lift them higher. You give without ego, and you don't lead from the front, but you lead from within your community. And I know your work doesn't always get headlines, but your impact, it's lasting, it's personal, and it's powerful. So today, Joe, I honor you for the way that you move people forward quietly and purposely, and for the community you've built and the balance you bring, and for the lives that you've changed just by being you. So you are our Pelican winner, and I will be shipping this to you. So hopefully if it comes broken, you tell me and I'll ship you another one. So tell everyone where they can connect with you or where they can learn more about your work and the impact that you're having on the industry.
Well, currently it's basically on LinkedIn. I want to post more. This is kind of the first step, as we've talked about. I would like to start doing a podcast because I want to find the time to do that and impact further than just the 200 people that I deal with here. I think as an industry that you need to teach and be reasonable about it. And I don't think a lot of people do that.
Yeah, I agree. So if you're listening today, Joe's going to be on YouTube now, but you can reach out to him on LinkedIn. And thank you, Joe. Thank you for being you.
Well, I appreciate it, Gina. It's been awesome being friends. Can't wait to see you here in Willard.
Yes.
It's a surprisingly, there's nothing here.
Well, we'll make something happen, Joe. We'll see you. Thank you so much.
All righty. Thank you.